Lock and load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-changey stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.
We are live once again. Well, pre-recorded if you're listening to it on podcast, but we are on the Bella D'Angelo Show. We've got Bella leading the way and Joe Man Bun, as she likes to call me. Here we go. We've got a lot of fun things to talk about. What do you got to say, Bella?
We got a great show tonight. Back in 2020, I had a lot of walkaways on this show. And I was finding them on Facebook, and they were all talking about, I remember one of the first original walkaways that came on the show, he talked about how he was absolutely crushed the day after the election. He believed the media to the point that he was so disillusioned and almost depressed. And he really had to come to Jesus with himself because he didn't know what he was going to do or how he was going to handle Trump winning in 2016 because he bought hook, line, and sinker everything that the media told him. He was a lifelong Democrat. And so instead of letting him crush him and take him down, he did a lot of soul searching and researching and decided to really figure out what happened. And it was story after story after story that I heard about these walkaways that were transferring, you know, leaving their party. And as I said last week on the show, the party left the party.
Oh, God, yes. You know, you talk about walkaways. We've got one of the biggest ones here in Minnesota. Cicely Davis is running against Ilhan Omar. She walked away. She was a big Democrat. I wouldn't say I was a Democrat. But before I joined the 82nd Airborne in 1987, I was a long-haired hippie freak. And, you know, I can't say that I was a fan of anybody, but I would probably say I leaned left more than I did right, you know. And that's how people, all of a sudden, they get an eye-opening moment. My eye-opening moment was joining the Army, and all of a sudden I realized, hey, I don't want to be part of the left anymore after what I saw with what communism and socialism all was over in the Cold War. I was stationed over in Italy, and I literally was there at the fall of the Berlin Wall. So I get it. By the way, if people are wondering, you know, what's going on, just a little levity here. We've had more technical difficulties than the Chinese trying to launch a rocket. Yeah, not saying it, you know.
Stop bragging about it. I mean, okay. I say all the time that I'm technically retarded, but we're.
Can you say retarded anymore?
You know what? I say anything I want at any.
Good
given
for you
time.
Because yeah, that's perfectly. We are technically retarded. I mean, personally, a cell phone is very, very difficult for me to operate.
But we do have Christina Scott coming on the show tonight talking about her walkaway, what her moment was. And, you know, it's so refreshing. The interesting thing about Christina is we got to know each other on Facebook. She's been following the story of me and Yoga Hot Pants and our months and months of hospitalization. And she just reached out to me about wanting to know if I needed help with my mom, how my mom was doing. And then, interestingly enough, she made a comment about the fact that she was a former Democrat. And she literally surprised the hell out of me because from these last couple of weeks talking to her, I didn't hear anything that made me think that she was a Democrat or a former Democrat. And so then I didn't even know her story, Joe, until last night or Sunday night when I called and we talked about it. And she's got an amazing story. She's got a life of in the nursing medical industry. And the interesting thing that started her to start questioning her own party was COVID.
Well, you know, that's going on a lot. A lot of people began questioning, you know, the Fauci science. And, you know, I to put this in perspective, there are 8 billion people on this planet, 8 billion. And we have had less than they're saying, what, 200 million people have died from COVID, and then if you take away all the BS numbers that come away from that, maybe 15 million. I mean, come on, a guy got shot six times in Chicago, and he died, and they called it a COVID death. So,
well, here in the state of Minnesota, less than 500 people died of it, and the flu was never even discussed. And anyways, I'm just excited to have her come on and tell her story. We've got so much going on in the country. What else are we going to talk about before we, or after we bring on Christina? You had a whole
list. We got Pelosi flying over to Taiwan, and China threatening to shoot down her plane, and the Taiwan-China issue, you know. And then we got old creepy Joe. He's got COVID for a second time. Isn't that interesting that, you know, he gets over it and then a week later he tests positive again? I thought Creepy Joe was going to cure us of COVID. That's what he came out and he campaigned on. We are going to get rid of this virus we're going to get rid of. And the little dude is Yankee Doodle Poodoo Poop. And, you know, do you remember that?
Lying dog face pony soldier.
Yeah, lying dog face pony soldier. That's what it was. You see, my memory's as good as Joel's is. And I mean, come on. The guy came out and said, we are going to get rid of COVID. And within less than a month, he tests positive of it twice.
Well, I got to, so.
Oh, wait a minute, though. You got to think of it this way. There's a lot of young kids that are happy about that he won't be out sniffing them. I didn't say that, did I? I'm sorry. I'm bad, bad guy.
We couldn't have a more perfect storm. And that's why when you missed it, by the way. We talked briefly, but you know, the last show Luke DuPont sat in for you and we had Johnny Mac call in, who was convinced that monkeypox is going to be the new pandemic that is going to create the next lockdown. Now, looking at me, well, I guess you can't see it. Actually, not to get, whatever. I'm actually bruised. I look like I maybe have monkeypox. I don't know what the hell's going on this summer. I have more bites all over me. I'm like literally marinated in calamine. But anyways, no, he literally thought monkeypox was going to be the next pandemic and that was going to bring the quarantine. And, you know, when we tried to get him to get to the facts, of course, he got pissed and eventually hung up on us. But there isn't anything that this administration is doing correct. They everything that they're touching is blowing up. The polling numbers are falling through the floor.
Oh, right along with the stock market.
Yep.
Crashed another 400 points today.
And, I mean, I'm surprised that Biden is still even, you know, swallowing Jell-O. You know, there's a couple of theories. I mean, are they going to use this to remove him?
You know, that's a good point because, you know, everybody thought when they brought up the 25th Amendment that when Pelosi brought it up, that she was bringing it up, you know, for Trump, saying he was in senile and insane or whatever. And then I got to thinking about it. And what came to my mind was he's not, they knew that they were going to cheat to win the election and that they knew Biden was going to be installed. And they knew that sooner or later they were going to have to get rid of him. And to get rid of him, you got the 25th Amendment. And
they would never use the 25th Amendment on Biden.
Well, the main reason why they won't is because they've realized now that camel toe is just as equally incompetent and probably even stupider.
But neither Biden, and even if Kamala replaces him, neither one of them are the talking head. They aren't the decision making president. I mean, they're not the ones in charge, so it won't matter. I think that, I mean, Biden can't finish sentences or words, and he's too much of a national security threat. And the thing is, the party wants to get the hell away from him.
Oh God, yeah.
I mean, they don't want him running in 2024. They've got to figure out who they're going to get behind for 2024. They don't.
They've already figured that out.
Which one?
Gavin Newsom. Oh yeah, Gavin's already there measuring the curtains, you know, for the White House. Yeah, no, it's Gavin Newsom all the way, and you know
he has a chance in hell as Al Yankertits.
Well, yeah, but you got to understand that you know he's good looking, he's charming, no, he's not. He's California.
He looks about as old as Frayboy, mayor of Minneapolis, 12 years old. I mean, I'm sorry, but that just shows the desperation of this party. I mean, they tried to get rid of Newsom. They didn't get rid of him.
They tried to get rid of Newsom?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean they tried to get rid of him?
It was like last year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They had that recall on him. Yeah.
Yes, they had the recall him because of the cheating. They kept him. But nobody likes Newsom. Nobody likes the Democrat Party anymore. So I talked about last week. Nobody wants their bullshit anymore. And they are so lost, they don't know how to get back to the party that they were back when Obama was in office. I mean, they're so out of control. That's why they're so lost. And that's why I think Buttigieg was like in the polling of who should run in 2024. I think Buttigieg was up there. Kamala was at the bottom. But I mean,
Kamala couldn't even win her own damn state.
No.
Butt plug, he's just showed what kind of a freaking incompetent moron he is. I mean, you're right. I mean, now you got the betrayal of Manchin. What is this guy thinking? I mean, him and Schumer make this deal that is literally going to, we're going to go from hyperinflation to, what was in the movie, Spaceballs? We're going to go to super hyper, you know, inflation. It's going to be bad.
Let me say this before Christina joins us. If you think about the election in 2020 and the election in 2016, remember how Trump stood apart from everybody that ran against him in 16, and he had all of the names for low energy Jeb and little Marco Rubio and all the funny
names. Ted Cruz.
Yeah. So he levels the field in 2016. 2020, unfortunately, you know, there was the second debate that went to hell real quickly. But the fact is that all of the same bad suits that couldn't even stand up, think about this, they couldn't have even stand it up in a debate. Oh. Grab her and tell her we're going to hang on for a second.
Hang on just for a second. We got to finish a little thing here and then we'll get you on, okay?
When you think about how important this is, in 2016, Donald J. Trump forever changed the face of the political landscape, especially for the president, because he stood apart from everybody and he called everybody out for what we all would have been calling them if we were all sitting around having a beer, being able to say the things that we wanted to say, right?
Absolutely. That's the one thing that Trump did was he exposed all these rhinos and the same politicians, you know, the left, the right, they're all the same, if you my book. And he exposed them for what they are and on a public forum.
Exactly. And the day that he was against Hillary and said that he would lock her up if he was president, I know every Schmitz malt liquor beer drinking, never voted, good old boy stood up and said, hell yeah, I'm finally going to vote. Now, you fast forward to 2020. All of the bad suits that ran for the nomination in 2020, all of those, I'm sorry, let me back. In 2016, all the ones that ran in 16 and in 2020, all those bad suits, not only are they just as bad, there's nobody new coming up the rink. They're just trying to recycle everybody. But here's what has not changed. The platform of the political and what we're willing to put up with. So somebody like Gavin Newsom, he'll carry California, but we don't want these self-important, bloviating, asshole establishment monkeys. And neither do the Democrat Party. We heard it from Cicely Davis. We heard it from that was on the show.
Maylor.
We're hearing this from Tom DePell, who's hearing people are sick and fed up and they're tired. That's why the numbers are plummeting. And we have somebody who actually voted for Biden, our guest tonight, who said that she finally woke up and she walked away. So welcome to the program, Christina. How are you doing this evening?
Did we get you on, Christina? Oh, boy. Huh. Are we plugged in? Oh, maybe if I hit the right button.
Christina.
Do we got you there?
Did you hit the button?
Yeah.
Are you on hands-free or anything?
I've got you on speaker. I can take you off.
Yeah, you're going to have to speak directly into the phone. Sorry about that.
Okay, I'll make that sacrifice.
And then you'll need to go somewhere where you got really good signal so that we can hear you. Otherwise, you're not going to come through on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get next to the modem here.
Wrap your head in tinfoil.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
This is your big debut. This is your big debut.
Wrap my head in tinfoil.
Wrap your head in tinfoil. I like that. Okay, I got the phone.
Well, I mean, that's how it was before, you know. So.
Yeah, but you know, when you were a liberal Democrat, you'd wrapped yourself in tinfoil. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I would say so. Yep, I think that it was, you know, the half of the job was kind of already done through school, and then you know, finished it up on my own. So,
well, let me set this up properly. So, Christina, you were following the story of this this unbelievable. Why do I sound funny now?
Oh, I think I turned up a volume too much. Okay. Hold. We're like I said, we're having more technical difficulties than the Chinese trying to launch a rocket.
So,
okay, you're one green.
Because now it sounds funny, and I don't know what you just did, but you got to stop.
Okay, I'm stopping. But I got her up. That's the most important.
Yes, I know, but anyway, so.
Ooh. Yeah. Try that now. Is that too much? Try your. Okay.
Anyway. And now I can't even hear it in the ear. I can't hear in the ear.
Can you hear that? How's that?
Yeah. Okay. So, Christina, you've been following the story of this this journey that Yoga Hot Pants and I have been on with all the hospitalizations, and it was very sweet when you reached out to me and asked me how my mama was doing. And without even knowing anything about you politically, I certainly didn't... I didn't troll your Facebook page, which she actually asked me how old I was today. I couldn't tell which direction she was going, and I'm like, how old do you think that I am? And she's like, I don't know. I knew you were going to ask me that. And I said, well, didn't you look at my picture? Anyways, no, it was very sweet that you wanted to know how my mom was doing, and then I started talking to you, and I had no idea of your political background, and so... I can't remember what question it was, but when you said that you walked away, you voted for Biden, but then before he was even inaugurated, you started kind of kicking yourself in the ass for making that vote. So what, give us your background, you know, obviously lifelong Democrat, but what happened? Why did you vote for Biden? Why didn't you vote for Trump? And then what made you start questioning the administration?
Okay, I'm going to try to keep it relatively brief, as brief as possible. I was a Democrat because I didn't do a lot of research. I was kind of an armchair Democrat. It just seemed like the stereotype of the Democrat was I just bought it and never really thought about it. I thought it was the right thing, like they're the party that helps people, and the media has always demonized, and I didn't realize that the media demonized conservatives until more recently, but you know, I just believed the stereotypes about Republicans. I didn't have a lot of conservatives or Republicans or even independents or anything in my life that I really discuss politics with anyways. But it kind of, I started to feel more political or get involved, pay attention, whatever you could call it, during the lockdowns, basically, or when the lockdowns started, because I'm a public health nurse, and I was really concerned about the inconsistencies that were coming from the CDC, from the government, and seemed to be coming from, in particular, our Minnesota governor.
So you didn't buy into those 6 feet apart stickers on every holiday gas station floor? You like me, kind of asked yourself, now who in the hell would tell somebody to stand 6 feet apart to save yourself from the worst deadly virus ever to land in the planet, apparently?
Well, you know, I kind of, at the beginning, when it was pretty much on, like, we didn't know anything before it even hit our shores or whatever. I was apprehensive, like everybody else. But once it became apparent that I got sick pretty quickly after it came to Minnesota. So it came to Minnesota in March, and then in April I was super sick. So I got the virus right away, and I got very sick from it. But I also did a lot of research.
So what were the first couple, and I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in so that we kind of keep moving forward. So what were the first inconsistencies that struck you and you said, this isn't right?
Okay. So at the beginning, the CDC was saying it is not airborne. And obviously they've completely turned around on that, and it seems like nobody else remembers it for some reason.
What was your understanding of the transmission of it, and where did you get your facts about it being airborne?
So I just did a lot of online research, looking at articles and studies from other countries who had already experienced it. You know, Europe mostly, a lot of the information coming from them has been less biased, and they were describing the size of the particles of the virus, and it's very small.
Knowing that the mask didn't do shit other than just turn into, like I've always said, you know, it forever damaged the minds of so many people, because we still got people driving around, walking around, you know, running around outside with a mask on, because that's the one thing that I said early on, this was going to completely change the landscape. You asked me earlier if the medical field would get away from masks. No, you know, we're never getting away from COVID until we finally get pissed off and the more than 50% of the population starts fighting it and saying, we got to be done with this. This is ridiculous. It's dragged on for too long. I'm sick and tired of the COVID questionnaire as I go in to visit my mom. And I'm sick of even hearing about COVID anymore. But let's go to let's switch gears. So further into looking into the Democrat Party, what made you really question who the party was, and were they the party for you anymore?
Right. So at first I just thought, I was really paying attention to our governor just pretty much exclusively. I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention to Trump's response. I was very focused on Waltz. So, and I thought maybe it was just him. He's like a bad apple or something. It didn't occur to me that it was the whole barrel necessarily, until, for me, it was here was Biden, and he and kind of the whole narrative was that Trump was like an out of control maniac tyrant and an extremist and a racist, just like every bad thing you could think of. And, you know, so, but then Biden was, you know, he was supposed to be a moderate. So I was hoping that would be the case. And I did vote for him thinking that the insanity would end. But as soon as he appointed a transgender person to office, to a health office, I thought, well, this is a political move that kind of indicates what direction he's going to be going in.
And I'm going to get hate, and we got a quick move this along a little bit faster, but
sure.
Transgender, and I'm going to get hate mail
Let me clarify this.
The problem with transgenderism that I have, and I'll go on record on this, on transgenderism. The problem that I have is people like Caitlyn, Bruce Jenner, and the rest of these people that are idolized now in this country for supposedly transgenderism, but many people don't even know. They are biological men with their male unit. Bruce has boobs, wears a dress, and has a bad impersonation of a woman. The sickness of it, though, is that transgenderism in its true form, they go through the hormone treatments, they go through the actual the surgery to actually physically change, but they have perverted this transgenderism to make it normalized, and it is infiltrated down to, there's a school here in Wayzata that is actually teaching transgenderism to 5-year-olds in school. And it started a long time ago by idolizing.
Wasn't just Wayzata, it was also Hastings.
Yeah, it's all over the place. But the problem is, so, you know, when he appointed that that health director, what's she's name? And he is no different. This is a biological man with man unit and boobs and a hair, and it's just beyond perversion. So what was the next thing that really set you off about Biden and team?
Well, let me go, but I want to go on record saying that to the transgender thing real quick, just there are people I do believe who are really genuinely transgender and they're committed to it and they felt that way their whole lives, but they're not trying to take away women's spaces or erase women. And so this pop culture phenomenon of people being, you know, of transgenderism being like the new cool thing.
You mean like Leah Thompson? Like
Leah Thompson?
Yeah.
The actress?
No, Leah Thompson, the swimmer that from Penn State that feels that she should be able, or it or whatever should be.
No, it's a male.
You know.
Yeah. There are so many men who are just taking advantage of this. In so many ways, you know, to get into women's prisons, for example,
because it's been normalized because we have idols and people like Caitlyn, Bruce Jenner running around with man unit boobs. But let's get to the heart. Let's get to the heart of what really made you say, because truly, when I talked to you, I didn't hear, as I said earlier in the show before you came on, I didn't hear any of the earmarks that made me say, you know, because we are friends on Facebook. And if you truly were still a Democrat, liberal, let alone progressive, you would have come after me with some pretty meaty hooks after me, but you didn't. And so what was it that you finally said, you know what, I'm just done? And I think you said you had joined a group and found yourself amongst a lot of conservatives and asked yourself, I think I'm a conservative. Isn't that the story that you shared?
Actually, I created the group. I created the group still thinking that I was a liberal. And I created it just to address the emergency powers situation in Minnesota here, you know, because it had gotten to the point where I had nobody to talk to. I was miserable. People were dying, you know, from suicide. People were depressed just from being locked on lockdown for so long. I mean, I had nobody to talk to. So I created a group to end the emergency powers, and it turned out almost everybody who was in the group or who wanted to join the group was a conservative or a libertarian or a Republican. I mean, there really weren't any, I don't think there, I was the only liberal in my group that I created.
They
told me, you know, I started to ask questions, what are the stereotypes of Republicans and conservatives and things like that? Like, what is not true? What have I been being told my whole life? And, you know, and it's not true. And so they really, you know, helped me like, oh my, like, I can't believe I fell for this. Like, I never looked into that.
Hang on a second, Christine. I know you want to jump in.
In this group, or not in the group, your work and your home life and other places that you're not surrounded by conservatives, my question is, are there others like you that are all of a sudden, do you know of others that are waking up and saying, you know what, I've been fed a pile of crap all my life, and now all of a sudden I'm starting to see the light that, you know, conservatives are just basically ordinary people that want to make a living and have the government out of our ordinary life, everyday life. That's basically what we are.
Yes. Yeah. And I have seen people, I mean, not, they do shy away. The term Republican has been kind of demonized, I guess, or that's the way the liberals generally see it. And that's the way I always heard it, you know, in my life. So they won't actually use the word conservative or Republican, but when I will discuss issues with them, then they will agree with me, or they, you know, sometimes they will outright say, well, I've voted, like one gay guy I know, he had in his whole life, he's never voted red, he said, but he said this year he's going to have to because his son tried to kill himself because of the lockdowns. So it's just, it's kind of a matter of life and death now. And it's, you know, we didn't really get into any more of the issues than that. But yeah, I do know people who are attacking the, like, I don't think they're fully consider themselves conservative, or, you know, I think they're just waking up. I feel like I've had more of an accelerated situation because I'm now surrounded by conservatives. So, but other people, I mean, it takes a long time.
Oh yeah. It's many of us out there, when we try to talk, you know, everybody says, oh yeah, I'm willing to discuss it, until you try to discuss it and then they don't want to discuss it because it's like almost they're indoctrinated. You know,
that's exactly what it is. It's, you know, don't look into it. And if you, I mean, I had already started asking questions before I came out, I guess you could say. I came out as, you know, I was like, okay, you guys are, you know, probably starting to figure out that I'm going to the right here, you know, but I was asking questions and people would get angry with me and shut me down.
Well, because you questions. Have critical thinking and you've got common sense.
Right.
And let me ask you, because again, we kind of want to move along. We're getting closer to the almost to the last 15. So, out of everybody in the lineup for 2024, do you see anybody that can come forward and somehow try to bring some moderation or bring the party back to center or even close to center? Do you see anybody for the 2024 election on the Democratic Party? Yep.
No, absolutely not.
So let me ask you, you're talking to some of these people that are starting to wake up and question, I mean, when you see, I've said this on other shows, at least back when Barack Obama was in office, if you were frustrated maybe with some of the policies, but I don't really see that a lot of Democrats were probably frustrated with the policy, possibly with the bad economy, but they could easily look to Brock and say, well, at least he's a leader and he's smooth and he's polished and, you know, he can take the stage and he represents us and he can go and travel internationally. What are your thoughts when you try to look at Biden as a leader? just the way he speaks and carries himself and how he is addressed internationally?
I personally see him as...
Don't censor yourself. I'd like to really hear it.
a complete embarrassment. He's inadequate.
So now let me ask you who would you like to see for 2024 for Republican nominee?
I would love to see Ron DeSantis.
That's not a bad choice.
I do like him. And or I really have, and this is the first time I've admitted it publicly. I dance around it sometimes, but I really have, like, looking back, appreciate a lot of the things that Trump has said and done. And when he was in office, I was kind of like, oh yeah, he's probably a bad guy. Just like I didn't hate him with a passion like a lot of the, a lot of the people on the left do, because I just didn't. But
you appreciated, and I said this earlier, and then I'll let Joe jump in.
Yeah.
You appreciate the fact that he could talk to you like a real human being, and he talks about real policies and real laws that apply to you and the things that you want for your life, your country, your economy, without the self-bloviated establishment bullshit that you've been fed all these years. So all of a sudden you appreciate what probably maybe turned you off in the beginning about him was his realism.
That's funny because you're right. You're totally right. You know, the only things that they could really attack him for were things that I now realize were pretty petty looking back. It was like he said something, he had a meme or an inappropriate tweet, and then you compare him, compared to the blunders that Biden has done, and I'll tell you, the liberals will not talk about Biden. They just don't.
Hang on a second. Go ahead, Joe.
So you would prefer to put up with a mean tweet and get our $2 a gallon gas back, huh?
I don't even know how mean. I don't even think he's an. I don't know that he's a mean guy.
No, he isn't. He's one of the nicest guys in the world.
He just seems like an honest guy.
Yep. Nobody likes honesty. Because what everybody says is, tell me the truth until they tell you the truth.
And here's the thing, Christina, you just proved what I said earlier, was that Trump changed the political landscape forever. And we are no longer interested in the typical, of course, there is the population of the Democrat Liberal Party that will just vote D for D. But those of us and yourself that have woken up, the mass numbers of people that are switching and leaving the Democrat Party, the fact that the Hispanic vote, the Black vote, all of these polling numbers that are showing that you can't have somebody like Donald J. Trump in office and then turn around and juxtapose to such epic failure with the leader that can't even hold together sentences to at least give the confidence to those that voted for him. Well, he may have bad policies. I may be paying through the ass at the gas pump and the grocery store, but at least he presents himself as a leader, and I have confidence in him. You don't even have that, and I really want to thank you for your friendship. I want to thank you for coming on the program. Joe, you probably have a couple questions, and then we're going to wrap out to the last segment.
Okay, I got one quick question, or two, actually. It's what district are you in? Do you live in Minnesota?
I do. Yeah, I'm in Bloomington. I just moved. I think I'm in 50, but I'm not sure if it's 50A or B. And, they just redistricted. So,
yeah, like, it's such a mess trying to figure it out.
Elkins is my rep.
Who is?
Elkins, Steve Elkins.
Oh, Steve Elkins.
Head of the Department of Transportation.
Okay.
The one who's behind the light rail.
Oh, yeah, that hero.
Yep. From California, yeah.
Yeah, you got to love that, huh? And even Mayor Fry is not from Minnesota. He's from Virginia. What we have is, what I'm starting to notice is that we have a lot more of these politicians, like you said, that are infiltrating and then trying to change us back to their home state. And it's like, oh boy. Yeah. You know, hey, listen, Christina, it was great talking to you. Really would like to have you on again, especially as we get closer to the election. And, you know, what would be really kind of fun is to have, say, one of your liberal friends come on with you and see if we could get a four-way thing going on here.
I'll try.
Tell us, explain to us, because that's what baffles people like me and Bella.
$100 gas card to whoever you can get on coming on the program. With
us. We'll buy them a tank of gas.
But couple tanks.
that's what we're totally baffled by. What are you seeing about your party? Tell us, brag about it. Tell us what you think they're doing is so great. You know, and we're not going to tear them apart.
Yeah, we probably will.
But, you know.
No, don't. I already have somebody in mind.
Christina, you've been on air with us now for 30 minutes. You know that we're not going to tear anybody apart. And that's part of the appeal of the Bella D'Angelo show is, you know, I've said forever and ever and ever, and unfortunately my own family doesn't even listen when I say we have to be respectful of everybody's views because that's what makes this country great. And that's what makes this program what it is I want to learn and hear and understand, and I will be very respectful. I just want to learn and understand and possibly get a light to turn on that maybe they won't admit it on air, but maybe the original purpose of the show is to make a difference one person at a time, one listener at a time, because that's what I try to do. And hopefully you woke up somebody else that listened tonight that said, you know, I've had some of the same views as Christina. And anyways, I'm looking forward to you meeting Little Yoga Hot Pants. You haven't met her yet.
Oh, yeah. I saw photos, though. She is cute.
She's too cute for words. And she was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she actually, I'm sorry, it was months ago. So, you know, sometimes I forget that it's been 4 months of hospitalization, but it was months ago that she actually said on air, you know, everything Donald J. Trump said is true, and it's come true. So anyways, Christina, I'll talk to you offline. Thanks for coming on the show tonight, and we'll have you on again.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been good. Thank you.
Okay, good night, Christina. Well, that was quite interesting and enlightening. And hey, wouldn't that be fun if we could actually get a liberal on with us?
We will.
We will? All right. You know.
We will. You know, so we've got Fox News on finally in the studio. And
were you watching what I was watching? Did you see why I was glued? My eyes were glued to it?
And it's
about Minneapolis.
And when the weekend that Minneapolis burned, I said that very weekend that this is setting a precedent to the country.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it sent the dog whistle because that's how Portland and the all of these, what was the zone called where they set up the tents? And
It was in Seattle.
What was the name of it? It was
Summer of Love.
Yeah.
Something like that. Something ridiculous. You know, it's, and you're right about that precedent. And more importantly, what it really did was, after 9/11, a cop or a fireman would walk into a bar, and there would be a line of drinks in front of that guy.
Yep.
This is what I don't understand about the Democrats: why they wanted to demonize the police.
Remember now the origins and I have a point of all of this because it speaks to people like Christina and many others that are not going to be speaking out loud about changing from the party. But just like Barack Hussein Obama started the Trump train, this burning and rioting and criminalization of downtown Minneapolis, it was because of George Floyd. But even think about how the police were viewed and treated, even from the George Floyd. Now, it's not right what Chauvin did, but it was the way that from there on out, and so many of these crimes that have been happening, and immediately the police are blamed. It's racial every single time. And
It's funny you just brought that up. I just caught Hannity's coming on, and he's bringing Herschel Walker on board. And he has been the subject of racial attacks by Democrats. And
of course. And the thing is that, you know, even the George Floyd and the handling of the George Floyd funeral and just how I said a long time ago, when Minneapolis burned for those 3 days, there are Democrat families, moms and dads, that are looking at the handling of Minneapolis, the out-of-control crime, the fact that the headline on Fox News, Minnesota never made it on Fox News. No. Minnesota is on Fox News on a regular basis, and that's because we are the poster child for what happens when liberalism is in charge of a city and state for as long as they have been. I think a vehicle is stolen, like 13 vehicles every minute. Some insane number.
What we did was we replaced Chicago and Detroit.
Correct.
And, you know, and you bring up a very good point, is that you notice the cities with low crime are Republican run. The cities with high crime are Democrat run. And
the cities that are thriving after COVID are Republican run.
Well, I'm going to jump in here on that. Did you know that Florida posted a $21.8 billion surplus? Funny how your state's doing really good when you keep the whole damn thing open during COVID, huh? Everybody's getting like a big check back. I mean, really? Hey, I could use some of that money back. Where's my $12 billion, you schmuck walls?
Hey, you brought that up every single show. But no, I mean, the fact is, I mean, I mentioned Minnie Stupid. I remember when Rush Limbaugh talked about how Minnesota had made the headlines for the defunding of the police department and where that was going to bring the party. And he echoed many of the things that I'm saying now. We're tired of their policies. They're not working. They're destroying the country. They're destroying our cities. They are re-landscaping the way that many families are making their decisions about what they're doing. And it's destructive and it's criminal and it's hurting the cities and the states. But in the end, I really believe that this is going to be a turnaround on many different levels. I think that in the midterms, investigations will start to go into play. I believe that they may even be pressured into drilling. But the unique piece is this is really the destruction of the Democrat Party. I wouldn't even be surprised if there was some type of a splintering. You know, that's why we've never been able to win, because they stand together, you know, even more dangerous than the worst terrorists, but they are splintering and they are running from Biden. And I believe that unless the Democrat Party has a Donald J. Trump that comes in and reshapes and reforms and is able to rise up and stand against the party, just like Trump stood against the rhinos in the establishment, this could be the end of Democrat. And even, and I know some people are going, well, what about the steal? Well, here's the thing about the steal. They're not going to be able to use COVID in the mail-in votes. And we also know how bad the fraud was in the 2020 election. So I feel very hopeful about the direction of the future. It's going to be a long, expensive time till we get to the midterms. Go ahead, Joe. You have the last word.
Well, you know, I took a drive down southern Minnesota today, and I went down 61 all the way to Winona. Was in the hills for a little bit, and then I was out of the hills for a little bit, and I was very encouraged by the amount of yard signs that I was seeing. And of course, you're going to see a lot of Scott Jensen and Matt Burke signs, but I also saw
they're coming on the show in a couple of weeks.
Great, because I've got a very good question for Scott Jensen, but I'll hold that one off later. Okay. But what I was really encouraged about was I saw a lot of Kim Crockett for Secretary of State signs.
That's awesome.
And I'm also seeing signs out there for Cicely Davis all over Minneapolis.
She's been on the show.
Yep. I'm very encouraged with the direction. I do believe that we are going to win the state. I do believe we are going to win the country. I do believe all this. But then comes the hard part.
What's that?
Governing the right way. See, we had an opportunity. We had an opportunity when Trump won, and Ryan and his group of rhinos just figured out a way to screw that all up.
I believe Trump trusted too many people.
Exactly.
I believe that he has spent these next 2 years analyzing and rethinking. I believe that once we get past the midterms, Trump will announce his campaign. And I do believe that Trump is going to win in 2024. And I believe when he does get in office, he will use everything that he learned to go really hard and fast right at the jugular of the swamp.
Well, the only way he can do that is he has to fire every single Washington swamp rat on day one.
He might just do that.
You know, and yeah, you just might do that. You're all fired. And that would be a beautiful thing. I mean, that would be the first thing he has to. But I am very encouraged with what I'm seeing going on around in the state of Minnesota. I don't know if anybody knows. I'm an independent trucker. I ride around the country with a duck named Eddie. You can find out
his wife.
You can find out all about him if you Google a duck who trucks Care 11. And I literally go everywhere. And I'm very encouraged. You know, you've got billboards up now that are saying, where's Walzo? You know, Walls failed, you know. And the attack has already begun, and it's good. But then we have to govern right. We can't sit there and go, oh, we won, so therefore we're going to implement all of our extreme moral bullshit. No, what they need to do is start governing what they were elected for, which is fiscal responsibility, less government, and getting our police force straightened out.
Well, so the interview that we did with Scott Jensen weeks and weeks ago, which is what caused me to buy all of this nice equipment, never got up on the platform. We never got to play it for everybody. And Scott addresses those issues and many, many more. And Scott is not, he's not a career politician. He's a, you know, he's a medical doctor who decided that he was tired of politics as usual. He's a wonderful man. He's got a great platform. I've been in conversation with the, with his assistants to set up them. I'm hopefully having Scott and Matt at the same time, but
that would be really, really nice. You know, when did we go from being career politicians to civil servants? I mean, we were supposed to be civil servants. That's what they were supposed to be, not career politicians. Nobody should ever get rich off this business. You know, we could go on for a whole nother damn show on this one.
I was going to say, I think after the, I'll have to look on my timeline, but you've got to be talking, career politicians had to have started after the first, that's the whole thing. And I'm going to end on this. The whole reason that I got involved in my activism was because back in 2009, I couldn't get people to listen. I couldn't get people to pay attention. They told me that their vote didn't count and there was really nothing that they could do. Believe it or not, I had this crazy idea that one person could make a difference. When I started this podcast in Williston, North Dakota, if you haven't heard this before, I had moved out there because the economy was so bad. I got a job selling drill bits. I was a big enough threat to the drill bit boys that, Joe, I don't know if you knew this, but I got fired. Right as the same time that I got fired, I had an Audi A6 that the motor blew up. I had no vehicle, and instead of giving up in Williston, I went and got a bartending and waitressing job at the El Rancho. It's not the El Rancho anymore. It's the Williston Brewery. But while hitching rides with no vehicle, waitressing and bartending, I started this show in an old brick house on Main Street in Williston in an apartment. If you listen to the very first couple of shows, and this went on for months that I didn't have a vehicle, you would never know of the struggles that I was putting up with. That's how much I believed in making a difference and getting people to listen and pay attention. It took 6 months before I got a vehicle and I got a job back in the oil field, but I continued to do the show every single night. That's how strong my belief is. And that's why when people say to me, well, it's going to get to the point that we're eating nuts and berries and we're burning sticks and we're living communal and all of this other crap. I've heard it. I've been there. I've seen it. You know, we're not going into FEMA camps. I'm sorry to disappoint many people, but the Chinese army is not going to come in here and swoop us all under. What the American people have is an inert belief in this country. Luke DuPont mentioned it last week when he filled in for Joe, when Joe, you weren't able to be on the show. Most Americans, whether you're Republican or Democrat, identify as American. And we are watching the American dream, the American spirit, the American way being completely destroyed. And I don't mean in bits and pieces and slowly. This is literally being ripped away, and we're all paying for it through the ass, no matter where we're going. And that's why it's making our battle easier, because it's not that hard to get people to wake up and to pay attention. When somebody like Christina Scott, who placed her vote for Biden because she didn't want the mean guy, but before he even got in office, she said, "Where's my God? Where's my country? Where's my leader?"
Well, you talk about one person making a difference. At the Battle of Syracuse, there was a young 16-year-old boy. Syracuse was in the Revolutionary War. And we were getting our ass kicked. George Washington was literally getting his ass kicked. And we could have, the Revolutionary War could have ended that day. And George told the 16-year-old boy, I think his name is Patrick Stanley, and I'm not sure, don't quote me on that, because my memory is not as good as it was yesterday. He said, "Shoot that general." And this kid got up in a tree with his Kentucky long rifle musket, and he took aim, and at 300 yards, shot this guy right out of his horse. And it totally changed the direction of the battle, which allowed Washington to disengage with his 6,000 surviving soldiers and live to fight another day. One kid changed the way where we are now. If you don't believe that one can't make a difference, read how many of those stories are in the Revolutionary War. There are so many of them, and they were done by kids. So with that note, let's continue to make a difference one day at a time, one by one.
One listener at a time.
And we're going to change the face of this country ourselves. So on that note, Bella, you got the last word?
I'm just going to say this has been a great show tonight, and next show it's going to be even better as we continue to get rid of – we got to irradiate our technical retardation, exasperation. It exasted me.
Well, it's either that or we apply for jobs as over in the Chinese – space, you snorted, over in the Chinese space agency and see if we can fire off a few rockets. All right, folks, this is it. Say goodnight, Bella.
Good night. God bless. God bless America. And ciao for now.
Lock and load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-changey stuff working out for you?
He's now a president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.